There has been some chatter lately on the internet that some have suggested that things would have been considerably different if the wise men were actually wise women. The thing sure would have been different if it were wise women instead of wise men. If it would have been wise women, they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts from Babies R Us, including diapers, wipes, bibs, and formula. But see, that would be an entirely different story, wouldn't it? There was also, I read a story about, there was a contest in a school this Christmas season, and one of the prize winners was a picture drawn by a 9-year-old boy showing three men offering gifts to the baby Jesus in a manger. And off to the side, it was not camels or horses. It was a fire truck. Now, mind you, this boy was from LaSalle Parish. And when asked about why a fire truck instead of camels, the little boy, 9-year-old boy, said, well, the Bible says that they came from afar. That's enough of that. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it's in that name Jesus that we come this morning in the throne room in worship. It's in this name that we live and breathe. It's in this name that we are able to live for God. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, we do thank you for this time of worship on this special day, as we worship looking forward to your return. Lord, as we worship knowing that someday you're coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we worship, we adore, and we serve you and we live for you today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we read in this text of Scripture this morning, we see that the birth of Jesus was miraculous. It was definitely a miracle that he was born of a virgin. Now, when I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, when I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, I did not know what that meant. But as I grew older and realized what that meant, I believe it. I believe it. That Jesus was born miraculously. He was born of a virgin. Miraculously. You see, when the wise men came to present Him gifts, they bowed down and worshiped Him because He was born miraculously. How old He was at that time, I don't know for sure. But I do know that those wise men, a caravan of them came because it made a big stir in Jerusalem. And a caravan of wise men came and they bowed down and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He was born miraculously. He was born of a virgin. Even the heavens declared it, that He had a miraculous birth, because the wise men looked at the star as that was prophesied by the prophets. So even the heavens declared that He was born miraculously. And on the very night that He was born, the angels appeared in glory, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And they sang and they worshiped the Lord Jesus the night that He was born in a manger. Why? Because His birth was miraculous. The angels worshiped as they witnessed His birth. The shepherds worshiped. The angels declared that today is born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Lord. His birth was miraculous. And His name is Jesus. The angel told Joseph to name the child, the son that was going to be born to his espoused wife, who he did not know. She was with child of the Holy Spirit. That's so important to realize. Some translation says that she was impregnated. That is not an accurate translation, because he was with child of the Holy Spirit. It was miraculous birth. And His name is Jesus. The angel said, name Him Jesus. And it means, His name means Yahweh saves. Means Savior. To save means to deliver. To deliver. And our Savior, if you think about it, He was delivered by a woman in a manger. In a lowly manger. So that He can deliver us from our sins. He was delivered so that He can deliver us from our lowest sinful state. By the way, the Bible says all have sinned. All of us, He must lift us from our miry state to deliver us from our sins. There was a daddy one time punished his little daughter. She got into the Christmas wrapping paper and he punished her and was upset because she had wasted most of the Christmas wrapping paper. And then when she presented her daddy a gift on Christmas morning, his anger raged again and said, "Why did you waste all the Christmas paper? Because this box is empty. You used all that paper on an empty box." She looked up at her daddy and said, "Daddy," as a tear was going down her cheeks, she said, "Daddy, I blew kisses in that box for you. They're full of kisses. All he saw was an empty box. All the world sees is a baby in a manger. They see all the fights and squabbles over nativity scenes, and even the world can get sentimental over a baby in a manger. A little baby. That's all they see. But to us who are saved, it is the power of the gospel message that Jesus came in a lowly manger so that He can deliver us from our sins. The gospel. We needed a Savior. His name is Jesus. You see, that lowly manger, born to a carpenter and his wife, born in a lowly state. You see, that may not mean much to the world, but to us, the motive of it, which is love, is priceless. It is priceless. His name is Jesus. And the angel also said that He will save His people. The words His people are very significant. Not all people are His people. Not all people are saved. Very significant. Some will try to teach you a universalist type of a Savior. Or there are many Saviors. No, the angel said that He will save His people. Not all His people are His people. He calls His sheep by name. We hear His voice, the Bible says. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." My sheep, you see, He speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures and through His Holy Spirit. And we as His sheep, we hear His voice because we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It's not some universalist Jesus, but it is a Jesus that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the question is, are you one of those whosoevers? Are you one that has given your life to a Savior? Are you a whosoever? You see, He will save His people. But today, this age in which we live now in America, 200 something years removed from our founding Christian forefathers, in America, churches are full of people who have been saved on their terms. They have somehow or another decided when they are going to be saved. They were saved on their terms in that, you know, you decided, hey, I think I'm going to be a Christian and try that for a while. Or I'm going to do this. You see, when you're saved on your terms and you tell God how you're going to be saved, that you're going to do it your way and not according to His word. You see, His sheep hear His voice. Not a man's voice or the church's voice, but His sheep hears the voice of Jesus. And He speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures. And if you're listening to some other voice or some other book or some other man besides the Savior who will save His people, you're saved on your terms and not on God's terms. And when you're saved on your terms, it becomes easy then because then you can serve on your terms. You can live on your terms. You can say, well, I'm a Christian because I've been saved, but you were saved on your terms. But you can live any way you want to and serve God any way you want to. If you're saved on your terms. But if you were saved because the Holy Spirit of God touched your heart and you realize you're a sinner undone and you need a Savior and you bowed your heart and your life and you gave your life to the Redeemer, to the Lord Jesus Christ, then no longer are you your own, but you've been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. You're not your own anymore. It's no longer your terms when you can quit, when you can upset, or you can attend church anytime you want to. It's on your terms. But if you've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus, then you'll want to serve Him on His terms. Then you will want to go tell it on the mountain, because Jesus says, go tell the world that Jesus saves. That's the gospel message. But if you're saved on your terms, that you have arrived, that you're above sin somehow, or you can live like the devil and still call yourself a Christian, then brother, then sister, you need to come to the Savior that will save His people from their sins. It's not on your terms. If you are saved on your terms, please listen to me. You cannot save yourself. You cannot do it. You cannot work for it. You cannot buy it. You cannot do nothing except, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me, I'm a sinner. That's all you can do. And by His grace, you're saved. And then by His grace, you will serve Him. It's not Christ plus something else. It is Christ and Christ alone for salvation. It is Christ and Christ alone to live for a Christian life. It is Christ and Christ alone that will make you a better person. That's it. He will deliver His people from their sins. You can't deliver yourself. You can't do it. We got a loving Savior that has done it all. He's done it. And He will save you. His name is Jesus. He was born miraculously. You wasn't born miraculously. He was. He's the only one that has lived without sin. The just for the unjust died in our place. Oh, you with your head bowed, hiding from me. I hope you're reading the book. I hope you're reading it, because it'll save you. He'll speak to you through it. Read the book, because He will save His people. He saves from the power of sin. He saves from the guilt of sin. He saves from the bondage of sin. He will save. The angel also said, verse 23, quoting Scripture from the Old Testament. You see, if the inspired New Testament writers quotes Old Testament Scripture, then duh, Old Testament's inspired too. Amen? If the New Testament writers, all they did was quote Old Testament and explained it, then it's inspired too. And here's a quote. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And hallelujah. God with us. He is Lord. He is Master. Unless He is Emmanuel, God with us, then He cannot be Jesus the Savior. Unless He is God with us, He is not our Savior. Because any man could be the Savior then. No angel appeared and said, Mohammed is God with us. No angel appeared and said, Buddha, God with us. They were just men. But Emmanuel, He was 100% God and 100% man. The God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, came and became one of us to die for our sins. God with us in the flesh, the great I am that I am, came in the flesh, His resurrection. He said, I must go. He told the disciples, I'm going to send a helper back. I'm going to send a comforter. He will convict of sin. He will expound on what I've told you. Because the only thing He'll do is talk about me. See, the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not exalt anything else. If it's not exalting Jesus, it's not the Spirit of God. But Jesus said, I must go to the Father. And He's now at the right hand of power. All authority has been given to Him. Emmanuel. You see, God in the flesh cannot indwell my heart, in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. The Lamb that is in the throne, slain from the foundation of the world, the very image of the Godhead, God in the flesh. He can't indwell all of our hearts, but you know who can? His Spirit can. God is a Spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So He ascended up, and the Helper came, the Comforter. God, the Holy Spirit, came to convict us and to indwell us, God with us, continually. That's what Christmas is about. Oh, it goes way past a little baby. It goes to God with us and indwelling us. On this side of the cross, we worship. We worship. He is the ever-present Lord. He promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. God with us. The writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the author, the beginner, and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. His name's Jesus, Emmanuel. You see, that same writer in Hebrews tells us to run a race, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Why in this race of life do we look at the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Why do we keep our eyes on Him? Do we worship Him to attain salvation? Do we live for Him to attain salvation or to attain fellowship somehow with a holy God? Why do we run the race? Why do we serve Him? Why do we want to live for Him, keeping our eyes on Jesus? Folks, don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on no one except the author and the perfecter of our faith. Why do we run the race? Is it to attain something? To attain a trophy? What's the prize that we're running for? Or could it be the prize has already been won? Are we running this race to attain salvation or be good enough to be accepted by a holy God? I hope not. You ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. The prize has been won. The trophy, the prize is God in you. What more do you want? God indwells you as a born-again believer. What else do you want? Are you running a race to attain that? It's already been done. Why in the world do you do stuff to attain? God is in you. Live for Him on His terms and not on yours. If it's on your terms, you're not saved, brother or sister. You need to come to Him on His terms. And you need to run the race of life, not to attain a prize or a trophy, but to run the race to bring Him glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. That's what the angels sang. That's how we ought to live, to bring Him glory. And oh God, help us to do it. That's why we're running. It's to attain salvation. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. Read the book. Because it's all about Jesus. Bring Him glory. If you're saved this morning, you got the prize. You got the present. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Been bought with the price. You're God's prize, and you have His prize, His presence. God with us on the bad days and on the good days. God with us when I don't feel like doing nothing, but my faith is in Him. I was saved by faith and not by my feelings, praise God. Sometimes I don't feel like doing nothing. Sometimes I don't feel like, well, I don't want to get on that subject. But I'm saved by faith in the Son of God. That's how I'm saved, on His terms. Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank You and we love You for the gospel, that we're dead in trespasses and sins, but we can be made alive eternally by Your Spirit. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming back someday to straighten all this out. Thank You that I'm going to have a new glorified body someday because of all that You've done. Thank You for Your presence. Amen.